The events in our text today take place somewhere around 734 BC before Christ. At this particular time, the nation or the people of Israel were a divided nation. The nation of Israel became divided 200 years earlier, around 975 BC, after the death of Solomon, King David's son. One vital piece of information we must keep in mind is those two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, which in Scripture, after the division, is referred to as Ephraim or Israel, and that's the northern kingdom, and the southern kingdom is referred to as Judah. The other piece of information we must understand is that the covenant that God made with King David, that the king would come from his family, the king that would rule for all eternity, is fulfilled through the southern kingdom, which is the house of Judah. And so the house of Judah was of great importance for the fulfillment of all of the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. Why is this? Because David's family continued to live and reign in that southern kingdom, the southern kingdom of Judah. And so in our text, enter King Ahaz, who is a descendant of David and was a very evil king and did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he was facing a very interesting situation. And again, this was taking place somewhere around 734 BC. Ahaz, by God, was sent the prophets, Micah and Hosea, to warn Ahaz, to seek his repentance, that he would turn from his sin, that he would lead his people back to God instead of the idolatrous practices that they were participating in. And I need to tell you that some of those things will be talked about, but they were severe. It was the killing and slaughtering of infants and great acts of immorality that this king led Israel in. And so his sin was great. On top of all of this, there was a lot of political unrest in the area. If you look in your bulletin on the notes, there's a map on the back, and so you can see some of the kingdoms as I describe them. Assyria was the power of the day. In fact, it probably, at that particular time, was the largest empire in the entire European region and Middle Eastern region. And so they were starting to threaten the safety of the northern and southern kingdom. On top of that, Syria, which you can kind of see in there, there's a little cutout that shows you both the northern and southern kingdom on that map. Syria and Damascus were ruled by another king. The king's name was Rezin, and they were plotting to overthrow the Assyrian king. And so then the king, Rezin, again of Damascus and Syria, went to the southern kingdom, went to King Ahaz, who's kind of the focus point of our text, and said, "Will you join us to overthrow the kingdom and the empire of Assyria?" Ahaz said no, and he began to fear and tremble. Now, as we look in our text today, God seeks out Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah to reassure him that if he chooses to place his trust in God, that God will surely protect not only the kingdom and house of David, which he is a descendant of, but he will also protect the southern kingdom of Judah. And so in our text, God says, you can name any sign you want. This sign can be as great and miraculous, as high as heaven, as deep as Sheol. You name the sign, I will show you the sign to reassure you that I will fulfill my promise to you. In an amazing turn of events, Ahaz refuses to give God a sign, and he uses Scripture to cover up his sin. And so that's where we find our text today. But God, in his loving kindness and his faithfulness, refuses to allow sinful humanity get in the way of the promised Messiah King that will come and redeem his people. And so please stand at the reading of God's word. Again, as we're walking through this text, you'll hear the name Pekah, which is the king of the northern kingdom, which is referred to as Ephraim in our text. It's the northern kingdom of Israel. And Rezin is the king of Syria and Damascus. Now, we're looking at verses 10 through 17, but I'm going to ask your grace and indulgence, and I'd like to start from verse 1. And so please, follow along with me in the name of Christ. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, the southern kingdom, but it could not mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz and Shear-Bashab, your son, at the end of the conduit in the upper pool on the highway on the washer's field, and say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands. At the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and son of Remaliah, because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabel as king in the midst of it. Thus the Lord God said, it shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. The head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord. Let it be as deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, Isaiah, hear then, O house of David, is it too small or too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And he shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be destroyed. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. Pray with me, please. Lord, as we look at this historical event and this historic prophecy that speaks of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it also reminds us of the failing of men and the failing of governments. And so, Lord, you are a God who keeps his promise. Lord, you are a God who fulfills all that he has set in his word. We thank you for that today. May you encourage our hearts. May every word that proceeds from my mouth be from you and not from me. Pray this in Christ's precious name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So you've got Assyria, who Syria and Damascus want to overthrow. The northern kingdom has sided with the king of Damascus and Syria to come against the southern kingdom of Judah, which again threatens the house of David. And so the first thing that we see in this text in Isaiah chapter 7 and verses 10 through 12 is that God offers Ahaz an opportunity to repent and trust in him. God offers Ahaz an opportunity to repent and trust in him. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Now Ahaz was given another chance to repent, not only for himself, but also a second chance for the entire southern kingdom of Judah. Ahaz decided the fate for an entire kingdom, revealing once again the failing of men and the failing of human governments. This just reaffirms that it could only be God. It could only be a king after God's own heart, who is God himself come in human flesh, that could rule and reign God's eternal kingdom with the holiness that God required. As a descendant of King David, Ahaz failed miserably. In 2 Kings chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, this is how his reign is described. In the 17th year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, again, that's the northern kingdom, Ahaz, son of Jotham, king of Judah, the southern kingdom, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God, as his father David had, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. He even burned his sons as an offering, according to the despicable practice of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. And he sacrificed and made offerings on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. And so what this passage in 2 Kings reveals is that Ahaz's sin was severe. It was great. Now, at first glance, when we look at Ahaz's response, it kind of seems like it's the right thing, doesn't it? It kind of seems like he's pious and he's humble in saying, I will not put the Lord your God to the test, quoting Scripture, quoting Deuteronomy, quoted by Christ in the temptation in the wilderness as Jesus was tempted by the devil. But what's really going on in this text is Ahaz was afraid. It says in our text earlier that he and the people of the southern kingdom shook as the trees in the wind. They were fearful of human people, fearful of man. He forgot the precept of, if God is for me, what can man do to me? And so then God, through the prophet Isaiah, comes to Ahaz and says, you know, just pick a sign. Pick a sign and I will show you that I will protect you and that you can trust in me. Just pick a sign, any sign, it doesn't matter how miraculous it is, just pick one. And Ahaz uses Scripture to cover up his sin. Ahaz uses Scripture to reveal that he's more afraid of man than he is of God. But we see this today, don't we? We see it within our churches. Willingly accepting sinful behavior and practices, using Scripture to make it seem right. Don't we see this in churches around us? God help us. God help us that we would not cover up our sin and twist Scripture to do it, like Ahaz did here. God wanted Ahaz to repent and place his trust totally and entirely in God's hands and become the godly leader that he was called to be, like his descendant, like his father, forefather, King David. But Ahaz refused. However, and this is the good news, because of God's great love, he refused to allow the sinful conduct of an evil king to hinder the promise of salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. Can anybody say amen? Aren't you glad it doesn't depend on humanity? Oh, man, that it doesn't depend on the failing sinfulness of human governments? That it's totally and entirely dependent upon God and his desire to save through the Messiah, through Jesus. The next thing that we see is God promises the miraculous birth of a Messiah king. Beginning in verse 13, and Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we know means God is with us. And he shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse evil and choose good. God reveals that the power and the efforts of mankind failed once again. And is there ever any doubt? Do we ever doubt that humanity will continually and perpetually fail as compared to the holiness of God? We should never be surprised at the failings of humanity because we are sinful and we are infected with that condition of original sin. That's why Jesus had to come. This is yet more incriminating evidence against the sinfulness of all humanity, and that it could only be God himself to rule in the manner and holiness that God requires. It could only be Jesus. The king's birth as promised here, as Ahaz says, nope, I'm not going to give you a sign. I'm going to cover up my sin using twisted scripture to make it sound like I'm doing the right thing. And then God says, okay, since you fail, I'm going to give you a sign. And this sign is going to be just as miraculous as the person himself. And so a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and his name will be Jesus. And the miraculous nature, and I love the hymn that we sang, Hark the Herald, the very last verse really kind of draws this out of what our text is revealing in the incredible importance of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was born in the fashion and form of Adam before the fall. And that's exactly what that hymn said. Fully man, though, in the likeness of Adam before the fall. Why? Because he needed to be born outside of that infection of original sin, so that he could fulfill the perfect life that we can't, that he could pay the full price of all of our sin on the cross at Calvary. And because he's God, 3 days later, he rose from the dead, infusing it with the power of Christ to save. Can anybody say amen? And so when we celebrate the coming of Christ, we also have to acknowledge the failure of men. And that's part of our text here today. The failure of government, the failure of people to live according to God's will. It could only be Jesus. It could only be God himself. God's presence is promised in the form of a human male child who will be the Messiah King, who is to us Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. And so the good news for us is today is that we have seen and received and heard this promise. The promise of the coming king, the promise of the Christ child, the promise of the Messiah. And as surely as God, through the prophet Isaiah, over 700 years before the birth of Christ, promised Christ's birth in this miraculous way and how it came to pass and Jesus was born, so too is the promise of Christ's return. It is absolutely certain. Isaiah employs a grammatical structure that just gives me chills, and it's called the prophetic perfect. And what it means is this, is that he wrote it as if it had already happened. To us, a child is given, it sounds like it's already happened. The certainty of God's promise was so tangibly real in the heart and mind of the prophet Isaiah as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit to pen this, that he was so certain to it to be true, he wrote it in the past tense. And that should encourage us. Almost all of Isaiah chapter 12 is written in the past tense. God is my salvation. I shall trust in him. Who shall I fear? And so the certainty of God's promise is true. The certainty of God's word is true. The final thing that we see in this text here is that if God is for us, who could stand against us? If God is for us, who can stand against us? Beginning in verse 16, for before the boy knows how to refuse evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. Doesn't it just show the futility of our fear of man? Because these two kingdoms in 65 years were no more. So Isaiah reveals to Ahaz that, you know, these guys that you're fearing, they're going to be nothing in about 60 years. You have nothing to fear. Fear God. Final verse says, and the Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim, the northern kingdom, departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. Here, God reveals to Ahaz that this promised child, born in a miraculous manner, will be born after all three of these kingdoms will be long gone. Assyria was viewed as the greatest power in the area, and the two lesser powers of Syria, Damascus, and the northern kingdom really posed no threat at all to the southern kingdom, because Ahaz had this opportunity to change, to repent, to turn from his sin. But he didn't. And because he didn't, he not only sealed the fate of his family, he sealed the fate of an entire nation. Human leaders, human governments will always fail. They will always choose what is contrary to the holiness of God. We see over 2,000, 5,000 years of history that proves this point over and over and over again. And so why do we think it's going to be any different in America? Humanity will always fail next to the holiness of God. That's why we put our place, that's why we put and place our trust in God and God alone. If God is for us, what can man do to us? If God is for me, who shall I fear? Amen. Because those who are his are part of this new kingdom that's promised. At the birth of this new child, this Messiah King who is God and also fully man, will be birthed a new kind of government, a new kind of kingdom. A government and a kingdom unlike anything that anyone has ever seen before nor will ever see again. And that kingdom has been established at Christ's birth, his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of God the Father, as the Father accepted the eternal atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that kingdom is spiritual. And so for those who are his, you belong to this eternal kingdom now. And you are temporarily placed in this nation, in this community, in your community, to be a walking, talking billboard for Jesus Christ. To bring the hope of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ as the angels proclaim the birth of Christ, so too our lives, our conducts, and our decisions, our words, are to reveal that saving gospel of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. Why? Because we want to. Because of what Christ has done for us, because of the unfailing love that God has shown us in Christ Jesus, a love we do not deserve, a love we cannot earn, a love that is a free gift, and it comes through salvation in Christ Jesus. It is a response of faith motivated by love. But in the midst of God's judgment, as he promises that the king of Assyria will come against them, and also Babylon in 957 totally destroyed and decimated the entire southern kingdom along with the temple of God in Jerusalem. Out of all of those sinful people that God will discipline and judge, he will hold 5,000 that have not bowed their knee to a false god, a remnant that have placed their trust in God, and God will protect them through all of those things. And we see this in Ezra and in Nehemiah. And in the book of Ezra, we see this man named Zerubbabel, who also is a descendant of David, who helps lead his people out of the captivity of Babylon to return to their home, to rebuild, to praise God, to read God's word out loud for a people who have been disciplined, but a people who have been bought with a price, because of the certainty of Christ's promise coming. And Zerubbabel, as he was married, he was the father of Abiud, and Abiud was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor, and Azor was the father of Zadok, and Zadok was the father of Akim, and Akim was the father of Eliud, and Eliud was the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar was the father of Mathan, and Mathan was the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of Joseph, whose wife was named Mary, who had a son named Jesus. God's word is true. His promises do not fail. It accomplishes that which it was set out to do. Place your trust in him. Not in humanity, not in human governments or human leaders. Place your trust totally and entirely in the saving work and person of Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who will one day return to bring those who are his home with him in a place with no more sin, no more sorrow, and no more sickness. Can anybody say amen? Hallelujah. What a Savior. And so to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And through the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, that is a reality right here and right now. Don't miss this opportunity to give your heart totally to the Savior, who deserves it, who is worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship, worthy of all of our honor this day and every day, to the day we see him face to face in the presence of the triune God for all eternity. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that your promises do not fail, and that you saved a sinner like me, who is sometimes a fool. But Lord, in your great grace and mercy, your love was revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I pray that each one of us would respond to the gospel of Christ, to the message of love found in Jesus Christ, and that we would live our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you all the days of our life, because you are worthy. I thank you for this time. I pray these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.